Well, welcome back to the Prayer Podcast. Pastor Joe Patterson along with Pastor Christy Allen today.
Hello.
Hello, Christy. And today we're engaging in our third episode of our Prayer of Ignatius of Loyola and how we as a church here at Broadway are launching ourselves, our being, our spiritual life into this prayer. And the practice of kind of time sensitive prayer where we're praying for a time together as a church. And so we've had some time to talk about how that individually strikes us, a challenge like that. We invited Pastor Adam last week to talk to us about how that challenge really inspires us as a community, and how the individual and the community play hand in hand in the power of praying in a challenge like this. And today we've come together and we're going to just critically look at this prayer and just give you some backstory on what it's all about, where it comes from, and maybe we can get some further meaning and provide you some greater meaning to your prayer time as you engage that prayer during this time. So, Christy, tell us a little bit about Ignatius of Loyola, who he is.
Yeah, as we were looking through this, I think you'll find this fascinating when we get to the actual prayer and breaking that down. But anyway, in the 1500s, Ignatius was from a family that was of some nobility in Spain. And apparently he was far from saintly, Joe.
Really?
In his early his days as a young man, he was very vain, had dreams of personal honor and fame, and just it was all about him. He was he was very much loved to gamble and was into some sword fighting, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was far from a saint and brawling and that kind of thing. But anyway, in the spring of 1521, he was in his 30s, and he was an officer in the army. And in a battle, he was struck by a cannonball.
Wow.
And so as he was recovering from that injury, the place that he was recovering didn't have very many books. I mean, they didn't have Netflix back then.
Really?
So he had to rely on reading books.
I thought that's been around forever.
Yeah, you would think so, right? at least a few generations. But yeah, back in the 1500s, no Netflix. So anyway, the only thing that he had to read was on the life of Christ and biographies of different saints.
Sure.
So all he had to read at that time was that. And so he became inspired, and God really started to work on his heart during that time. And he very much then devoted the rest of his life to not living in the fashion that he had been, where it was all about him and those things, but learning to live more about how God would have him live. And he actually formed a community, an order of Jesuits. So he found some other gentlemen that also felt this call to live according to God's will. And I love this. It said, to seek the greater glory of God and the good of all humanity, they devoted themselves to the care of souls and helping people discern God's presence in their lives.
Wow.
So that's what the order that he started with was about. So I think with this little bit of background, maybe this prayer has a little more meaning to it, seeing the context.
Absolutely.
We talk about context when we're reading scripture.
Sure.
I think just even knowing a little bit more about the man who wrote this prayer and where his heart might have been at the time, and certainly his life experience, because our own life experiences work into our spiritual life, obviously. God is part of our daily life. And so I think that'll make this conversation maybe a little more interesting when we dive into the specifics of this prayer.
Okay.
So anyway, some very interesting background on our fella here. So,
well, you know, at this time, I hope that you've got your bookmark handy there, or you have some version of the prayer in front of you. That way, as you hear us talk about the prayer, specifically, you'll see some things that we're going to talk about, just so you can follow along and maybe see things for yourself, maybe even the same way or maybe a little differently than Pastor Christy and I are seeing things through this prayer. But obviously, with the backstory, hearing where Ignatius is from and where he was. You see not only the tension from his backstory, but you see the tension of his life in this prayer. And you know, obviously from the go, you know, the words "teach me to be generous." It's a very clear suggestion, if not a subtle suggestion, that he does not feel as if he is generous.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He is not a generous person. Mm-hmm. He has gambled in the past. He has put his resources in places they should not have been.
Right. Yeah.
Not a generous person. So we recognize that, if we're honest to ourselves, there are times when maybe we are not real generous, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's just the starting point.
Yeah.
That's the starting point. That as you read this, as you pray this, that we find where are we in a spirit of generosity? Mm-hmm. Are we becoming more like Christ in that respect? Are we far from the standard of Christ when it comes to that? Mm-hmm. And it's likely that we are all in this communal effort of this prayer challenge all over the map when it comes to where we stand in generosity in terms of connection to what Christ's expectations are for us.
Right. And I love that it starts off with "teach me."
Yes.
Because to me, like you said, it's a movement of becoming more and more like God would have us to be, to reclaim that goodness, the image of God that we all bear. To me, it's part of that. Like, teach me how to be more who you created me to be.
Yes.
And again, as you were talking about generosity, I thought of, you know, not just our resources, but to have a generous spirit, to have a generous heart, whether that's generous in grace. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we're a little stingy with our grace. Right. So maybe that's the state of your heart. Maybe it's not, and as we work through this prayer, maybe thinking through not necessarily things or, you know, possessions or monetarily or even abilities or resources, but our spirit and our mindset and the state of our heart, you know, to start there.
Yeah.
And know that there's much that we have to learn.
Sure.
But the God is the one that shows us and is there for us, and that we have the Holy Spirit working within us. So I love that. I love that the first two lines are "teach me," so that it's a becoming and not a guilt thing.
Yes.
I
think it's very important to say that.
Yeah.
Very important.
Like, you have not met you aren't to the height of the bar yet. I think it's not that. I think it's just,
you're not the weakest link. Goodbye. No. That's not what we're talking about here.
Not at all. Or that there's a certain number or percentage that you need to be hitting.
Yes.
It's not about that. So yeah, let's take the guilt right out of there from the top. But that we all need to be continually leaning into what God is doing.
Sure.
And being transformed in that spirit. So.
And we were talking earlier about how just we can sense this tension of a person that's just living life and really without any type of thought about anybody else but themselves. Mm-hmm. This is likely the life he's living,
sure.
You know? But then there's a tension of, in this prayer, of a relentless pursuit of authenticity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, how can... Teach me to be generous, but how am I generous authentically?
Right.
Without there being
with the right heart,
without
the right...
worrying about the cost, mm-hmm. without worrying about any reward, without worrying about what the response is, mm-hmm. the positive consequence of my generosity.
Right.
You know what? Right. Let's talk about that for a second. Where does that lead us when we open that can of worms? Because that's a hard ask. That's a hard ask of anybody, mm-hmm. honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think we all, especially here in our country, in our culture, we're very, as we talked last week, very individualistic, very independent,
yes.
Very focused on me and mine. You take care of you and yours. I'll take care of me and mine. And you know, that'll be however it'll be. But this thought of not counting the cost, or yeah. what's it gonna do to me, or what am I missing out on, or what do I get out of it? I think you're right. I think that, again, kind of speaks to our attitude going into it, and what does that look like, and how freeing that could be, if you could really be in that mindset, because then that shows also the communal aspect that we're in this together, we're doing this together, and that we have God with us, mm-hmm. that God is the one who's really doing the doing, you know. So I don't know. It's that tension, like you said, of how do you do that, and how do we get to a place where we're not thinking those things, that we're just doing, that we're loving without pulling back.
Yeah, we've all been there. I mean, I could sit here honestly, and I know you can as well, and think of times in which someone has given something to us,
mm-hmm.
and we're
freely
ultimately
and
freely, lovingly, not expecting anything in return,
mm-hmm.
and we feel guilty because we can't come up with some kind of creative response or some kind of evening of the score.
Yes,
you know, and that's just not the way. That's not the way it is for some people.
Right,
and we as a culture, we have a learned awkwardness,
mm-hmm.
that happens in those moments.
Right.
You know, it's like, can we receive something without feeling like we have to respond?
Mm-hmm.
And it's likely very difficult for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's when our foot's in the other shoe, when we're giving, you know, can we do the same thing without expecting
anything back? Yeah.
And, you know, I think on both ends of that,
mm-hmm.
our culture tells us something very dangerous sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and where we expect a kickback, or we expect something in return. We I'm scratching your back, you scratch my, you know, we just look to those things just because we see them, and we just have
sure.
been taught those things.
Sure.
And that's not the type of generosity that Ignatius is talking about, praying for, asking for. taking a learner's, wants to learn how to not be that way.
Right.
You know, that's not the prayer that he's asking for. He's asking for authenticity,
mm-hmm.
in this prayer.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, just how to learn how to not go there in
yes.
your mind. And so we were talking earlier about this, that when you look through these, you know, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not heed the wounds, to toil and not look for rest, you know, what's the reward? What am I getting out of this? But instead, thinking about, all right, I'm looking at how can I be more like God? How can I be more open and loving and caring and compassionate? And how can I change my heart and attitude? And remembering that at the end of the day, like at the end of the prayer, it says to know that I'm doing your will. Like that's the wonderful part, is to know that we're with God and doing God's will and lining up with what God is about, being about mm-hmm. what God is about.
Yeah.
I think if we started there with just the state of our heart and our mindset, then we would be doing these things.
Yeah.
Like it would be the outflow of that,
yes.
you know, the outflow of our attitude would be one of generosity,
yes.
the outflow of a kind and compassionate heart would be that you would stand with someone,
yes.
or whatever. So I think if we started there, like instead of, again, how we are as Christians, we want to check the boxes. So how much do I need to give? How long do I need to work? What is the requirement? So I can tick the boxes, when it's never about a checklist, it's mm-hmm. never about the boxes. It's about our relationships with God and our relationships mm-hmm. with each other. And I think we're always looking for that quick checklist,
yep.
you know, and how much and how far and how wide. And then now I'm done. I'm good. Right. I did it. I'm where I need to be. But instead it's a heart condition, you know,
yes.
and a training, a teaching of our mind. to match up with what God's generosity and grace looks like. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about a part of the prayer that seemed, at least, I don't know, it was to me, I don't know, to you, maybe to some of you listening, just kind of the awkward placement of the word save at the end of the prayer. And it looks maybe more like an ancient use of that word, maybe not a way that we would use the word save.
It's not how we talk, you know. I mean, we're thinking 1500s here, so.
And so just to kind of give a clarity of what that those last two lines are really kind of trying to express, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, we're talking about asking God to teach us to be generous, to be about the things that He's about in our generosity, and to work and be about the things that He's about, regardless of what the rewards are or what might come from that,
or how we might look,
or present ourselves. But this last part is really the thing that ties the bow.
Yeah.
All this stuff, we're asking for God to help us, to give us a spirit to do these things. But none of them matter unless we're able to recognize that we're aligning and doing His will.
Right.
And trying to experience and trying to live into a closeness with Him and the things that He's about. And so those last two lines, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing I'm doing Your will, it's almost like to labor and not to ask for any reward except
knowing that
I am doing Your stuff.
Yeah. That's
I am
the
doing Your stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm about Your stuff. I'm about the movements within the lives of all things, all places, and all people. That's what the word save means there. It means our reward is simply being about God's things.
Right. Right. And I think that's a good place for us to kind of leave this.
Yeah.
Because as we're asking all of you and us as a people of Broadway and others who are joining us, just as a people of God, to be praying communally together for God to show us and teach us how to be about the things that He's about, and to love the way that He loves, knowing that we're doing His will collectively.
Yes.
And how that can change, that we're not alone, that we have Him and each other, to lean in and to learn and to go from learning to doing.
Yep.
Lining up with God's heart. That's a beautiful thing. So
good talk.
It was wonderful. So friends, we hope that you will join us here again next week. And in the meantime, we pray that you will feel God's generous love and grace fall upon you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.